Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
The quarterfinals are set for the men and half of the women's Final Four. Welcome to TC Live as we break down all the action from the Miami Open today and get you ready for what's to come at Hard Rock Stadium. A lot to discuss. Carlos Alcaraz was flying high against Lorenzo Musetti. The two young stars teamed up for the point of the day. But who would soar into the quarterfinals? Plus, last week was the rain. Today, the power was knocked out. A knockout with Tyson in the house? See who flipped the switch to punch their ticket to the next round. We'll get you caught up on that and much, much more. Turn up for TC Live right now. Come on into our studios here in Santa Monica, California. Steve Weissman back alongside Monica Puig. And once again, it is Andy Roddick After Dark. Good morning, good evening, my friend. How's it going?
Hi, how are you? Good evening. Let's do this.
No American men in the fourth round of Miami for the second time in history, but all four top seeds moving on to the quarters, Monica.
Yeah, that's one thing that we do not have on the women's side is that consistency of the four seeds moving along. I really like this Alcaraz-Dimitrov matchup that we're going to have in the next round. I feel like all four seeds are playing really great tennis and just showing their stuff here in Miami. It's really a flip of the coin to see who's going to move forward. I still really like Alcaraz. I want to see an Alcaraz center final, but who knows? Maybe somebody will cause an upset. We'll see.
Let's start with Carlitos. Get straight to the highlights. Alcaraz trying to keep his hopes of that sunshine double alive. The Indian Wells champ has won eight straight, Andy, taking on Lorenzo Musetti.
Yeah, and more of the same from Alcaraz. Coming forward, I don't know how many of these kind of depth-stretched volley winners that he was going to play here. And this one from Musetti, I listen, drop-shotting Carlos Alcaraz, it doesn't work. He's too fast. It's not going to work. Like, it rarely works. I mean, that might work twice a year. But this one, that was gratuitous. That's like the Murphy Jensen dive and double, Steve. Like, he didn't have to do it half the time, but he did it. We enjoyed it. It's fun. And also completely unnecessary by Musetti. At this point, he's just looking for you to give some clever quip about how great the shot was. But Alcaraz was just dominant start to finish. He's barely losing games. Like, he is just, I know Tyson was at the tennis tonight. He's just like an old school Tyson fight, 20 seconds in, walk up, punch the guy in the face, move on.
There's a chance, Andy, that could be the hot shot of the day, though. So stay tuned to TC Live. Alcaraz, he was sensational. 18 of 22 at the net, 23 winners, won 63% of his second serve return points. Let's hear from the man.
Do you think this is the best you've played since last summer?
Yeah, probably. I don't know if this is the best game that I'm playing, but without a doubt, it's the best feeling. I'm feeling great on the court. I'm moving great with not, let's say, injuries, because I'm not thinking about the ankle anymore on the court. Of course, I'm taking care about it every day. But I think that's the best feelings since summer.
To hear from Carlitos. Casper Ruud taking on Nicolas Jarry, and the South American supporting fans. Monica, you and Andy called this upset yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, we said it from the very beginning that this is going to be a loud and rowdy match, and Jarry has been looking really impressive all tournament long. He has been smacking the ball around the court, transitioning well to the net, winning points like these, and really getting that crowd behind him, and the second set was no different. He just looks so solid against Ruud that I haven't really been seeing very comfortable on court lately, and Jarry just took advantage of that from beginning to end. Served great, moved great, hit the ball incredibly solidly all around the court, and he really is just looking impressive here in Miami.
Third man from Chile to reach the quarterfinals in Miami, his second Masters quarterfinal This is a guy, by the way, who saved two match points in the second round, beat Alcaraz last month. Nicholas Jarry is balling right now. How about last year's champ, Daniil Medvedev, playing Dominic Kupfer? Still trying to defend a title, Andy, for the first time in his career. He's got 20 titles, never defended one.
Yeah, one of the weirder stats, like, on Earth, is that Medvedev's never won the same tournament twice. But listen, start to finish, Kupfer would have had to absolutely come out of his shoes at a consistent level. Medvedev just always asked the question, he's going to get too many looks at someone who can't just create speed, hit winners, bring you in and out of the court a la Sinner or Alcaraz. Medvedev is simply just too good for most people on planet Earth right now, and he does it in such a smart way. Just ask the question constantly. There's the backhand that never gets talked about, Steve. Like, it's almost like he gets punished because it's boring, because it's so good. Like, he doesn't miss him. Like, he doesn't miss him, and so we just overlook it. And the guy just goes to work, dominant in the second set, just wears you out. Absolutely wears you out.
350th win of his career. Impressive stuff. Caught up with Prakash after.
You put so much cumulative pressure on your opponent that even if they play a very high level, if they just drop it a little bit, you kind of, you run over them.
Well, I would say that's my goal. You know, if you want to beat me, you need to play minimum two sets on a very high level without any drops. Otherwise, I'm going to try to take it. That's when I started playing well, when I kind of discovered that I can do it. I can put a lot of constant pressure to my opponents. If you want to beat me, you need to play a very good match from the start.
He would have to play a very good match, Monica. Of the three guys that we just saw win, Medvedev, Jarry, and Alcaraz, who impressed you the most?
I was really impressed that Alcaraz says that he didn't think it's his best level, because what we've been seeing from him has been really nothing short of impressive. He has looked all around at the top of his game. I really agree with what Medvedev said, for example, that his opponents really need to come and bring their A game in order to beat him. At this level, it just looks like he's doing the basics well enough that people really have to take it to him, because he doesn't need to do anything more than what he's doing right now in order to win these matches. But for Alcaraz to say that this isn't his best level, I was like, dude, either you're being modest or I don't know, because he's looking red hot.
Yeah, no, he's a humble guy. He said best feelings, not best level. What do you think, Andy?
Well, he's playing great. I mean, he has confidence just all over the board right now. Medvedev's right. Like, there's, you know, five people on Earth that can beat him with less than their best. And he knows that. And he plays like he knows that. He's going to consistently ask the question, can you beat me from 2 feet behind the baseline? Can you switch directions off of a ball that's below your hips? And can you do it for 3 hours? And the answer, more often than not, is no. And Alcaraz is a magician, whereas Medvedev is like Tim Duncan, Alcaraz is like LeBron, right? Like, they're both effective in their own ways, but LeBron scores 40,000 points at the end of the day. I think Medvedev realizes that, but he's going to get his wins too.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And also looking forward to Medvedev and Jarry, because Nicholas Jarry is playing really good tennis. We'll talk about that in our FanDuel match preview later in the show. But to the women we go. Half of the quarterfinals played today, with the top three seeds out. Elena Rybakina, the highest remaining. Also the youngest, Monica, facing an in-form Maria Sakkari.
Yeah, I think Rybakina has started to find her level here in Miami. Even though we haven't seen her comfortable in the opening rounds of this tournament, she looks solid. But this is where she started to get into trouble. She had multiple opportunities in this second set to close it out. And this is where Sakkari started to play clutch tennis. We see that confidence coming through in the fight. Rybakina had to work her way around here against Sakkari, who was starting to apply more pressure to Rybakina. But Rybakina, time and time again, just stone cold face. Sakkari had to come up with shots like this in order to continue to force the issue. But Rybakina, as always, no emotion, just moving through like if nothing ever happened.
That Spartan spirit from Sakkari was strong, but Rybakina, about an hour and a half after her first match point, was able to close it out on her fifth. We have seen a lot of stars in Miami to watch the tennis. Mike Tyson in the house. Just his powerful presence knocked the power out. Jake Paul should be really worried right about now. A 53-minute delay. Yulia Putintseva was up a break early against Victoria Azarenka when all this went down.
And then when it came back, they would go to a tiebreak in that first.
Yeah, this is something that I've never, ever seen happen before. This new electronic line calling has been starting just recently. And Azarenka, I have been on the receiving end of Azarenka when her back is pushed up against the wall. And her response is this: I am not going to back down. I am not going to change the way I play. If you want to beat me, you have to beat me at my best. And she is just a bulldog and will not let go at any moment during the match. And this is what she did in order to pull out this three-set win.
Three-time champ there. Now to win away from her fourth final. Said the way I came out in that third set was very decisive. 24th semifinal at this level. Only Serena and Simona Halep have more. So one of our semis is set. It's Rybakina, Azarenka. The other two quarterfinals going down tomorrow. Alexandrova, Pegula, Garcia, Collins. Roddick, what do you think of Rybakina, Azarenka? Who do you favor in that one?
I think Rybakina, but only just because she's serving great, right? I think that Azarenka is going to get less looks on Rybakina's serve than vice versa. But I could easily be wrong. I just like the way that Rybakina, off of 8 days of no tennis, she had a very short timeline of practice coming into this event, has kind of worked her way into this event, gotten better and better with time. I was the dummy who chose Madison Keys because I thought her body would give out. And she responded with her best performance of the entire tournament and has continued that. I like the way she looks so far.
In the end of the match, no emotion like normal. But during the match, we saw kind of an edgy Rybakina that we hadn't seen very much, if not ever.
Yeah, she tends to kind of move on to the next point a lot of the time, Rybakina. This is the first time, though, that I've seen her camp be extremely positive, and maybe that was the difference in Rybakina able to close out those moments where she wasn't feeling at her best. I have to say, though, that if Azarenka comes out and grits her teeth and really takes it to Rybakina, starts to make her doubt a little bit like we saw against Sakkari, once she started throwing in those unforced errors, things could kind of change. I mean, again, Azarenka, she will not let go. She will fight tooth and nail until she gets what she wants, and what she wants is a win. I want to see her serving well. I want to see her moving as Rybakina around the court. I want to see her make this match as physical as possible now that Rybakina probably hasn't been feeling as great as we have seen her in previous matches.
If it's going to happen anywhere, Miami's the place. A lot of success there for Victoria Azarenka. Much more to come here on TC Live. We're going to preview that match we talked about. It's our FanDuel match preview, a jarring sight for the returning champ. Can Nico Jarry beat the odds again against Daniil Medvedev?
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Welcome back. Right after Miami, Tennis Channel's Road to Roland Garros kicks off on the green clay in South Carolina. Do not miss an amazing women's field in action at the Credit One Charleston Open, one of our favorite events to go to every year. Exclusive coverage, first ball through the finals, begins Monday, 11 a.m. Eastern. It is the very best. Bob, Eleanor, Ben, we are coming for you. Can't wait to get to the low country. For a look at tomorrow's forecast in Miami, here's Fox Weather.
Hello, tennis fans. I'm Fox Weather meteorologist Stephen Morgan. Here is tomorrow's Miami Open forecast. We have partly cloudy skies, expected temperatures in the low 80s. Not too bad. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device.
Stephen, time now for our FanDuel match preview. Daniil Medvedev, pretty heavy favorite, minus 525 against Nico Jarry. Played once before. That was 5 years ago, though. It was on clay. Medvedev actually won that match. Andy, do these odds look right to you?
Unfortunately, they do, because I have a hard time making a call. I like the matchup for Medvedev just because Jarry can't create angles, right? He goes through the court, and it's just really hard to go through Medvedev. At 4-1, I might take a punt on Jarry. But listen, it's an appropriate line if I don't like either side of it here. I think Medvedev wins the match. I like the matchup for Medvedev, but you know they're enticing kind of betting world to jump in with that 4-1 on Jarry.
So Andy says, Monica, that Jarry can't really do anything to go through Medvedev, but there is that X factor, the crowd.
The crowd, it could play a factor, but sometimes I think Medvedev likes to play with the crowd as well, and he'll make it entertaining. He'll use it to his advantage if he has to. He'll get into it. He'll have fun with it. But like Andy said, Jarry hits through the court, can't really get those angles. I feel like if Jarry wants to come into the net as well, Medvedev is so good at dipping the ball low to his feet, so it's gonna be tough, especially when Medvedev likes the big court. He's willing to run around everywhere, especially on the hard-hitting serves. He'll run into the stands if he needs to hit a return. Like, that's no question. So, yeah, I definitely think that Medvedev is the favorite here.
Yeah, the crowd could actually help Medvedev, including Jarry, but we'll see. I mean, listen, a win for Jarry, he'd be back in the top 20. Medvedev going for his 10th straight there in Miami right now. New customers can get $200 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and start making every moment more. Still to come, take a look at this. Give that fan a contract. But then what happened? To be a souvenir or not to be a souvenir? All the drama straight ahead. Groovy, Puig, Roddick, Weissman back on TC Live. Last match of the night. Alexander Zverev, Corinne Khachanov didn't start till after 11 p.m. in Miami. First time playing each other, Andy, since the Tokyo Olympic final.
Yeah, and Zverev looked great start to finish. Showing off the hands here. Hit his forehand great tonight, Steve. And that's one that, when it's not confident, kind of just rolls over in the court. The backhand, as always, is absolutely world-class. But winning a lot of these kind of mid-court points, these cat-and-mouse points, which normally isn't his specialty, but really driving the forehand right there, creating space. Listen, if you said, Steve, this guy is one of the top five forehands in the world, I think he all of a sudden has two or three slams ahead of him. But I like the way he was going for it. I like the way he was getting in on Khachanov, start to finish, a clinical performance. And we might just get some sleep because of it tonight, Steve.
That's exactly right. This thing could have gone three sets, and then we'd still be up. Grigor Dimitrov bringing a 4-0 record into his match against 2021 Miami champ Hubie Hurkacz, Monica.
Yeah, Newby was playing really, really solidly in this first set. He just looked like he was hitting through the court beautifully. But Grigor has been playing pretty impressively all this season so far. And baby Federer was showing signs of his old self, just working his way around the court, moving extremely well, passing shots like this. Like we said, we love a one-hander. We love a one-hander passing shot. And then a little bit of a controversial moment here. Hurkacz thought he didn't hit the net with his foot. We see clearly in the replay it did touch. And then kind of drifted with the focus here, let Grigor pretty much run away with his third set tiebreaker and the match.
That gave him that mini break in the breaker. By the way, that was an Andy Roddick approved racket slam, right?
Yeah, listen, you throw it face down, Steve, you're not going to hit anyone. You're not going to get fined. All good in the neighborhood.
Really all that matters. Two-time finalist Jannik Sinner looking to avenge a loss in his only other match against Chris O'Connell. Andy went down a break early.
Yeah, went down a break early, but listen, he has confidence. The weirdest thing about this for him, Steve, is that he's not on the stadium court for the first time in a long time. But that doesn't change the D. That doesn't change the way he moves. That doesn't change the fact that he's going to hurt you off either side. That doesn't change the fact that he's holding serve at over a 90% clip for the entire season. Doesn't change the fact that Darren Cahill is still one of the nicest people in tennis. A lot of things don't change. But listen, the one thing that stays the same is that Jannik Sinner is still winning, still dominating, the best player in the end of 2023 and so far in 2024.
19-1 this year. Going to get Tomas Mihac next. Dropped just 2 points on serve in that second set. Here are your 8 quarterfinalists. Fabian Marijan improved to 4-1 against top 10 players. Got to his second Masters quarter. He upset Alex Demonor. Dimitrov, by the way, completing his set of quarterfinals at every Masters 1000 event. Some tasty matchups as we advance to the Elite Eight. Now, during the Sinner-O'Connell match, a ball went into the stands, and a fan reached out and did a nice job, snagged it, but was made to return it. He did get another ball, Andy, but I think if a ball goes out of play, fans should be able to keep it. What do you think?
No, I think we should totally make this guy feel badly about grabbing a ball out of sporting event. This is dumb. Like, Fergus, I've argued with Fergus about everything under the sun for my entire career, and I would have argued this when I was saying, like, if a ball goes out of stands, like, why would we not, like, elevate the fan experience and let them keep it? Like, the thing that's heartbreaking is he catches it, he's pumped. Look at his face. Someone tells him to give it back, and he has this moment of, like, embarrassment or the fact that he felt like he did something wrong, and it breaks my heart. It's dumb. It's short-sighted. Let's take the wins in tennis. Make every fan happy if they catch a ball. This is dumb.
Couldn't agree more. What do you think, Monica?
I mean, I felt like he was going to cry. I felt so bad for
it
him. Because,
terrible.
I mean, like, in baseball and everywhere, you catch the ball, you keep it. Tennis tournaments are not lacking tennis balls. So let's normalize this.
Poor guys. He got like a random used ball. Like, that was his moment. That was his moment to shine.
It makes me want to cry.
Ugh. Fergus. All right, what's trending on social media right now? How about this? Jannik Sinner playing a little wheelchair tennis against not just anybody, somebody even more accomplished than himself, Monica. That's Alfie Hewitt, a 27-time major champion, 8 in singles, 19 in doubles.
I mean, we've seen Sinner play soccer with babies in this tournament. We see him playing wheelchair tennis, which is incredibly challenging to do. I did it like a really, really long time ago. It's admirable because you have to handle the chair and you have to handle getting to the ball, hitting the ball, getting back. It's incredible. But these types of moments, obviously, you know, it's good to see that, you know, you're just doing it all and you're being with everyone, not just the elite players. You're playing soccer, you're playing wheelchair tennis. Sinner does it all.
Yeah, and the thing is like, I'm looking at this matchup right now, and Sinner should be starstruck by Alfie Hewitt, right? Like, I know Sinner's the man of 2024, and he's doing it, and the guy's going to win a bunch of majors. If you get the chance as a tennis fan, and you are at an event where wheelchair tennis is available, I used to win matches in Miami and go out and watch what real athleticism looked like after the fact. It is phenomenal. Sinner's lucky to be hitting with this guy. I got to be honest. Like, he is lucky to be sharing this experience, and I'm glad he did it. Props, wheelchair tennis is amazing, and I'm glad we're seeing this clip.
Yeah, these athletes are absolutely incredible. Alfie Hewitt has made the final in 9 of the last 10 majors in singles. And the guy is an absolute legend. And what they do on the court, like Andy said, if you're at any of the majors or any tournament that has wheelchair tennis, go check it out, because you wouldn't be able to do it. All right, check out our schedule tomorrow. Times change a little bit. Day session starts 1 p.m. Eastern, night session the same, and it's the trifecta. Monica, Andy, myself, TC Live, following all the action once again. Will it be after hours? We'll see. Encore coverage all night long. Back with our hot shot of the day after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back on TC Live with our hot shot of the day. You knew it had to be this point. Musetti, Alcaraz. Anything you can do, I can do better.
No, I feared he was going to be chosen for this one because I have a hard time, Steve, as great as this was and as entertaining as it was, I have a hard time right here. Any shot you choose to hit between the legs that you could have just hit a forehand on for a winner? Don't know.
He won the point.
It was a bad choice that,
but he won the point.
Yeah, I won a lot of points with really bad shot selection. It happens, but maybe not the one.
I don't know. I liked it. Monica?
I liked it. I told you yesterday it was going to be a walking highlight reel, this match, and there it is.
Yeah. I see your tweener and raise you a tweener. Here's Wednesday's action. Go.
It was walking. It was walking because he didn't hit a forehand. He could have walked through it, obviously. Guys, come on.
Alcaraz didn't have to hit a tweener back there either, by the way, right?
He was at least going backwards and not forwards, Steve.
I love this conversation. Let's send it back to Miami for Danny and Prakash.
All right, Steve, back here at our Tennis Channel Cadillac desk. Prakash, quarterfinal action continues. Danielle Collins has a 3-0 head-to-head against Caroline Garcia, last beater at the 2023 San Diego Open. How do you think this one's going to go?
I got to say, Caroline looked absolute fire against Coco in that last round. Aggressive tennis on full display. I just, there's something about Danielle Collins, this event, her last year here, she's playing some inspired tennis. I think that counterpunching but aggressive style from the baseline, I think is going to get the job done, cause an upset, and get to 4-0.
Wow, we're one step closer to the Final Four here on the women's side. Looking forward to all the action in Miami.
All right, thanks so much. Yeah, we are heading down the stretch. Prakash says it's going to be Danny Collins getting the win, gets a 4-0. By the way, she's never lost a set to Caroline Garcia, but Garcia's coming off wins against Coco Gauff, Naomi Osaka. What do you think?
I think Danielle is looking fearless. She's, once again, no pressure. She said this was her last year, so she's kind of riding off of that. I think the match is going to come down to execution. Who's going to execute the game plan better? They're both going to hit a really big ball. We know that. I want to see how Garcia serves, but Collins, fearless off the baseline, fearless off the returns. She's feeling it. And yes. I like her odds.
Eight straight sets she has won since dropping the first set of the tournament. Roddick, you think she wins?
She looks great. And one of the differentials between Osaka Gauff and this Collins matchup, I think Gauff and Osaka are probably better servers overall, but Collins runs that second serve in on the body, right? Which means, you know, Caroline Garcia kind of gets pinched a little bit. It looks like it's like a little bit like a T-Rex return. She's handled the kick serves well. Collins running it in on the body, I think, makes a difference. I don't think it's as easy to attack that and kind of come in. So, weirdly, even though she's not as good a server as the other two, I think her serve is more effective against Garcia.
Love to hear it. Jessie Pegula looking to make her third straight semifinal in Miami. Won the only previous meeting against Ekaterina Alexandrova, who's coming off the win of her life against the world number one Iga Swiatek. How do their games match up?
I think Pegula is the more solid and more consistent of the two. I have seen Alexandrova's level go up and down. If she can maintain the same level that she's had against Iga, then, you know, it could be an interesting test. I think Pegula, as the tournament has gone on, has gotten more solid, and she looked really good in her last win. I think she's the more solid and consistent of the two and might walk away with this one.
She actually said, Andy, after that win against Emma Navarro, it was really important for her. I think how I approached this week was going to dictate how my year was going to go. That's where her mind was.
Yeah, I think so. I think there was a little bit of upheaval after Australia and deciding to go a different way from a very comfortable relationship with David Witt, sourcing different opinions to help put her team together with Knowles and Merklin. But before she gets to the clay, having that one big hardcore result, I feel like she has kind of turned her year around. She was searching for something. Something has been found. She's looked great this week. She served well this week, creating a lot more free points, a lot more kind of setup opportunities. I like the way Pegula's been progressing. I think she's going to win this one.
She also talked to Andy and Lindsay, so that always helps as well. It's a Tuesday, Roddick. I know it's Wednesday where you are. Quick promo for Served.
Listen, we got the pod coming out. No, we have T2 first on Sundays. Pod was released early this morning, so check it out. We had our friend Kim Fleister's on. We talked about all sorts of fun stuff, what the power dynamic is going to be of tennis, who's going to buy the tours. And I had a temper tantrum in my club game this week, Steve, and I wrapped a racket around a bench. So there was that.
You play club tennis?
I play at my club two or three times a week. Not going to brag, but I'm kind of better than most of the club players.
It's like, I'm not going to brag, but I'm a pretty big deal. Okay.
Broke a racket. All right. Looking forward to listening to that one. Listen, another great show, Monica. We'll be back with you tomorrow night. Once again, play begins 1 p.m. Eastern. Check that time 2 hours later on a Wednesday. For Monica and Andy, I'm Steve Weissman. Thank you so much for joining us on TC Live. As always, the action from Miami continues after this.